The Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast with Bhairav Patel and Alan Clark.
Welcome to the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast, where we tackle the practical challenges that startup founders and small business owners face and give our own unvarnished opinions. My name is Bhairav Patel. I'm the Managing Director at Atom Ventures and Atom CTO, where we partner with small businesses and startup founders to help them define and build their tech vision.
And I'm Alan Clark. I'm the founder of the Business Growth Partnership, and we work with high-potential businesses to help them unblock the blockages that are preventing them from reaching their full potential.
Hello, everybody. I'm here today with Alan Clark, and today we're going to be talking about the art of pitching. So, Alan, actually, so you've been pitching in many different ways, right? In the sense that not only have you had a startup, but you were also essentially buying other companies at the same time. So you were, I guess, in many ways, pitching to them as to how you
even goes way back beyond that to when I first started working in the world of business and advertising. The model for winning business was you were given an hour to do a pitch. Given a month, come in, you've got 1 hour to convince us that you've got the answer, and based on that, you won the business or you didn't win the business. So it goes all the way back to that. So over the period, I'm thinking hundreds of pitching situations that I've been in. And if I'm really honest with you, way back in the beginning, it absolutely terrified the living daylights out of me because it was a scary concept. But one of the things I've learned along the way is there's actually a process for doing it. And there's a few principles that if you follow and actually go through them methodologically, then actually you can end up with a fairly compelling pitch that's delivered reasonably easily, reasonably straightforward. And you know what? You don't win them all. Sometimes they like what you have to say, sometimes they don't. But the better you've done your prep, the more likely you're going to give or deliver a pitch that your audience will be interested in.
I think what you've touched on here is a very interesting point, which is something that I actually a little bit forgot about before we started this podcast. And that's that the pitching is not just about funding, right? You're not really talking about most people and entrepreneurs. They are focused on raising money, talking to investors. And so all of their pitching is really around that. And I think a lot of them tend to forget that actually the investment is one piece, but really you need other people, like your customers. You need other, you know, your internal employees. Everyone that is involved in the business needs to be able to understand what you're doing.
I would actually say that for the majority of entrepreneurs, pitching for investment is only a very small part of the pitching they'll ever do. But the same principles apply. Whether you're pitching what is a pitch to a prospective employee who you really want to join the business, and you're having to explain to them why this is a great opportunity for them, or whether you're meeting your first ever prospective customer and you have to explain to them why your solution is a great opportunity for them, or if you're pitching to an investor. You remember that the majority of people who start a business, and then that gets into the question around what is an entrepreneur, is it anyone that starts up their own business? Or do you have to be doing a business that requires capital to grow? Personally, I'm pretty comfortable with anyone that starts up their own business being an entrepreneur. You know, you simply are pitching all the time. Somebody, I can't remember who it was, says life is a pitch. Well, it's true. We're always pitching. And there's some fundamental, I've written down 7 principles here that for me are the 7 core elements of pitching well. So the first principle is, you've been invited into that room. Nobody's forced to come and meet you to hear your pitch. So know what they're interested in. Know what they want out of that meeting. So know your audience. Understand what their motivations are. And then give them what they're looking for.
Yeah, I think also I can layer onto that, because this was one thing I found very interesting with Atom, and I was trying to tell people what I was doing, right? So people ask naturally, and that's a part of pitching as well, is like, what do you do for a living? And, you know, I say I provide virtual CTO services to startups and SMEs. And then someone said, what's a CTO? And then I realized, okay, so maybe I need to change that terminology and the jargon. And I think that's one of the other things that I find a lot when people are talking to me about their business, right? They're suddenly, because they're quite deep into it, they'll suddenly come up with a whole bunch of jargon, technical phrases that you really have no clue about and don't really understand. And I see it a lot in pitch decks as well, where you've got people who are pitching for investment and they'll just assume that you know every single in and out of that industry. It'll be full of terminology and very specific wording that I would have no clue about. And you kind of switch off because you're like, well, okay, I don't really understand any of this.
Absolutely. And then that's because you've not understood where they're coming from. Second thing, if it's about understanding what they want from you. Second point for me is know what you want from them and be very clear on what that is. Are you there to get some business from them? Are you there because you want to hire them? Are you there because you want to build a commercial relationship? And make that clear in the meeting. Because nothing is worse than getting to the end and going, well, what do you want now? How do we move this forward? And you know what? It's just about being honest and being transparent, because every pitch is a two-way transaction.
Yeah, I think it's all about setting expectations in this sense, right? So one of the things that you find is that when you're talking to customers, especially when you're pitching for work, you know, in their head, they may have a certain idea of what it is you do and deliver and the value and the actual cost of it all. And I think you need to be quite explicit. A lot of people are very reluctant to talk about not necessarily just the value, but actually the cost and the effort that's put in. And if you are upfront with saying, and actually this was given a piece of advice that was given to me by a pricing consultant. And he said to me, you know, you can easily just go into the room and say, look, we are not a cheap option. We are not the cheapest option in the room. We can be very expensive. And then you kind of talk about the value that you can bring, and at least setting that expectation. What is interesting about that is because psychologically, the other person opposite you will be thinking, oh my God, it must be millions. And when you come out with a number, which is not necessarily anywhere near what they're thinking, which is the worst number in their head, they feel relieved and they think, okay, I can handle this. So I think, you know, you can't shy away from these expectation setting statements within your pitch.
Absolutely. And the reality is, there's no point in extending into a conversation extended conversation. When there's never any likelihood that you're going to be able to come to an agreement, they can't give you what you want, you can't give them what they need. Third area is the most important part in any pitch meeting is the very, very beginning, because that sets the tone for everything that follows. And my advice there is start fast. Have a really clear introduction and how you're going to open up the meeting. Because there's nothing less motivating than sort of mumbling and stumbling into something. And again, a great little bit of coaching that was given to me a long time ago was, when you're pitching, start with A, B, C, D. So when you start, mark the opening of your pitch with an attention-grabbing statement or fact. Something that gets the attention of the people you're listening, that you're speaking to. Follow that up immediately with the benefit that they will gain from your pitch. So what's in it for them? Third, C, on your credentials. Why am I qualified to talk about this? And then number four is D for direction. Very briefly run through, I'm going to tell you about this. Then I'll talk about that, then I'll talk about this, and I'll finish off with the other. And literally within the first 120, 180 seconds, you've established, I've got their attention, they know what they're going to get out of listening to me, they understand why I am credible to talk about this, and they know how the conversation's going to flow. And by that point on, you'll be settled, because you're now up and running, and the people you're pitching to will be either engaged because I'm really interested in this because I know where this is going, or you might have very quick, hold on, this isn't for me, see you later. But I doubt very much it'll be the latter.
And I think this again goes back to knowing your audience, right? So when you are talking about the problem and the solution, be as specific to the people that you're talking to as possible. Because I've seen people pitching and they've come into a room, and I think it was in Norway or something like that, and people were talking about a problem that was going on in the US. And you're thinking, well, hang on, this has got nothing to do with us. And then again, you immediately switch off. Another one was a guy, it's actually, funnily enough, it was PayPal pitching to us as a business. large e-commerce business I was CTO for. And the guy didn't really know who was in the room. He didn't understand who the people were he was pitching to. He actually, even though I'd been at the company 5 years, he thought I'd just joined. So obviously he had no real understanding of the history of the business or where it had been. So you need to do that and focus on the audience in a much more specific manner. Don't talk about generalizations. Try and tailor it to the people that you're actually in front of.
Absolutely. Make it relevant. Make it interesting. Make them want to say, there's nobody ever gives you time to pitch with the thought, I want you to be rubbish. I want this to be a waste of an hour of my life. They don't want you to be great. So give yourself every opportunity to do a great pitch to them. In one of our recent webinars, we spoke about how to, or the content that should go into your pitch deck. So I'll not dwell too much on that, but have a well thought through, well developed pitch deck with a minimal amount of words in it, because you're there to talk. If all they had to do was read lots of words on screen, don't bother asking for me to just send them the pitch deck and let them read it. They're there to listen to you, not to read words on slide. So Dan Kawasaki's 10, 20, 30 rule absolutely comes into play here. Some of the very best pitch decks I've ever seen, pitches I've been involved in, there was a lot of pictures and not a lot of words. Because really what was on screen or what was on the deck was only there to allow the person presenting to make their point and illustrate the points they were making.
Yeah, I think there's a very basic thing that everyone needs to keep in mind is that if people are spending time reading the screen, they're not listening to you.
Absolutely. And
that's it. Nothing more to be said on that one, I think.
Number five, be prepared. Don't turn up presuming that they've got a screen or your technology will connect or that there's blackout blinds or that they've got speakers or any of that. You can ask in advance. And if they say they have it, great, but I would never rely on that because we all know, we've said, oh, we're meeting them in the boardroom, but the chief execs run over, let's run to this other room. And you walk in and it's not what you're expecting. So make sure you know the room. Make sure if you're not bringing your own projector, which I always prefer to do, because then I knew what was going on. I had my own technology. And obviously now with linking into screens, that's not really the way we present anymore. But I would always bring hard copies of my presentation as well. Because if all the technology failed, I could hand them out and we could flick through them. Simple little things like that. Think about what's the worst case scenario and how do I still carry on and have an engaging presentation? And even, you know, then when there was the opportunity to present using technology, sometimes I would just go for the hard copy and hand one out and flick through it. Much more involved, much more engaged than sitting up and doing death by PowerPoint.
Yeah, I think what's interesting here is that when I was starting at PwC, what they always said was that if you have a meeting with a client, you should always have the presentation printed out, as you said. And funny enough, it's always in color. Had to always be in color because we had lots of charts and things like that. What I used to do at, let's say, Aztec, when we were talking to businesses, you would invest in a good 2-in-1 laptop. So that's what I did was for the team. I said, look, anyone who's going out in sales can have a flip. So worst comes to the worst. You can just flip your screen around and then just show them on the screen, even though that's not ideal because they're not big enough. But at least you have that if it all else fails, because some of these guys were out in the middle of nowhere trying to present. So printers might not even have been available for them. But at least if they have power in their laptop, they could do it. So you're right. It's all about thinking about some of the small things. And again, not only about being prepared, but it's about knowing the people in your room as well. So try and figure out who's going to be there, what their roles and responsibilities are, and whether they're the decision makers or not.
There's also a human element, a very human element. We'll come back to the decision maker, but you're absolutely right. There's no point in presenting to a bunch of people that can only say no. That's a waste of everybody's time. You want to present to the person that can say yes. But just coming back to that, being prepared and how you choose to present. One of the things I've got much more confident as I've got older and more experienced in this is it doesn't always have to go smoothly. Sometimes little glitches here and there actually make it much more human because things don't go perfectly all the time. So actually being able to say, look, I've got a PowerPoint, I've got loads of stuff, and you can put it up, or if you want, which is just like for me through the slides. And sometimes people say, look, that's much better because we get more of a conversation going on rather than that direct stand up in front of the room behind the lectern. It's just not a natural environment. Only two more comments for me to throw in on this right now. The last one is, once you finish, shut up and listen. Listen really carefully to all the feedback that you get, because they're all relevant, legitimate questions. Even though you might think it's the most stupid question you've ever heard, if they've had it, maybe you need to go back and think about your pitch to make sure that you address those points next time. It's seldom do we only pitch once. Usually we're pitching over and over and over again. And the opportunity to learn from the feedback is absolutely invaluable.
Yeah, and what I tend to do nowadays is always have a second person in the room. So whether now we're all online, so what I tend to do is have one of my other team members in there. So if I know I'm going to do most of the talking, I need someone else to be doing a lot of the listening. And so all they do is just be on mute, quiet. They don't even have to have the camera on. They do the introduction at the very beginning, and then they just listen, they take notes, and I can go back to them and say, look, because obviously sometimes your interpretation of things is very different from others. And if you have someone out there who's just listening and no other function, they can be a little bit more objective and they'll understand when things were being said and what tone they were being said in and all of those different things. So that's kind of a neat little trick that I use nowadays on that. But the other thing that I think was very important that you mentioned here is that when you do get the feedback, yes, you do obviously incorporate that into your pitch, but make sure you follow up, because there are so many people that go and pitch and then never follow up. You never hear from them again. So they'll come to you, talk to you. And the best interactions I've had is where someone has pitched to me and then I get back to my desk and there's an email saying, thanks for your time. If you have any other questions, please let us know. And then you can email them questions and they'll follow up, right? Then you're starting to know that person's actually really interested in either you as a client or you as a service provider or you as whatever it is that you're trying to do.
But that comes on know what your objective is from the meeting. It's very seldom when you go in and do a formal pitch and know it's either a yes or a no answer.
Yeah.
Usually it is about extending the dialogue into a conversation. And that's very good advice in terms of how do you take the lead in extending that into a conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
And the final thing I would suggest now for those who have maybe not done any or many pitches is be reassured that the more you do, the better you will get. The more comfortable you will become, the better you will become at managing questions, at managing the audience, and the better your pitch will get as well, because you will learn where the slow areas of the pitch are, where the bits that people are particularly interested in. You'll learn about what those objections that have been raised or the areas that get strong feedback, and you'll be able to adjust accordingly. But the issue with gaining experience is you only gain experience by doing it. So if you're scared of doing it, go out and practice your pitch on maybe some relatively low-risk audiences. Maybe it's your bank manager, or maybe it's a supplier, or even just a colleague or a friend or a peer who's got an interesting point of view in what you're doing. Because the more that you do it, the better you will get. And actually, I don't think there's many people who, after a bit of experience, inevitably a few bloody noses along the way, don't actually enjoy pitching. There's a bit of a buzz about, and the floor is yours, now I'm going to perform. Particularly when it's a subject matter, your business, that you know more about than anybody else in that room.
A few things I can say here now. I remember one time I was, I think it was RBS, and I was standing on stage in front of, it wasn't that many people, it was about 80, 90 people. And halfway through my pitch, I completely forgot what I was going to say, simply because I was not meant to be pitching that day. Someone else was meant to be doing it. And then literally just before they were meant to get on stage, I said, I'm not going to do it. So I got on stage, and that, for the first, three quarters, it was perfect. And then we got to the last thing I was going to say. There was no slides or anything like that. And I completely forgot what I wanted to say. And so, you just don't panic. And I kind of thought, well, I'll just end it here. And if anyone wants to talk to me, they can always talk to me. So the last thing you say, isn't it? Okay. And if anybody needs any more questions, then you can find me. I'll be here, whatever. So, you know what? It wasn't the end of the world. The world didn't crash around me. I didn't, catch on fire. No one came up to me and said, that was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Carry on. And actually people come up to you and just start talking to you because they want to learn a little bit more. And I think one of the things that I find that people tend to do is they overcomplicate the material. And as you say, you know very much your business, right? You know, understand your business inside out. Don't overcomplicate these things. These are things you should be able to say to someone like your family. You should be able to talk to them in the same way as you're talking to an investor, talking to a potential service provider, someone who's going to be doing work for you, an employee, whatever it is, right? If you keep the language natural and simple and try and use it in a way that you're telling a story, right? I think that's one of the key elements that I always try to emphasize when I'm talking to startups or even when I'm doing my own pitches, is to try and tell a story, because stories are easy to remember and stories are easy to relate, because we talk about stories all day, right? Every day with people. So I think the more that you can simplify your language, make your messaging very clear and simple, and then really just don't panic when you go in to talk to people. Yes, a lot of people have a fear of performing in front of audiences, but the more that you feel that this is your part of an extension of a conversation that you've already had, the more comfortable you'll feel.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Well, I hope that's helpful for anybody that is either sitting out into the world of pitching or maybe has done some and found them a little bit intimidating and not looking forward. It really is. There's some basic principles in there to follow.
Yes. And if anyone does want to reach out to us, just feel free. You've got the details on the website. Reach out to us and we can help you.
Well, bye for now.
Cheers.
Many thanks for taking the time to listen to the podcast today. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, all the main podcasting sites. And if you'd like to learn more from us, you can contact Alan. He's alan@tbgp.co.uk. And you can find me at info@atomcto.com.